You can call in the lawyers and they'll tell you not to do it because somebody might sue. But who is it that finally comes in and says, hey, you guys, that isn't going to work? Because those people aren't going to relate to each other like that. You're treating them like automatons. You've got to treat them like humans. Well, as far as I know, I'm usually the one who has to say that. And I'll bet you are, too. We're the people who ought to understand about human nature and to plug it in. You know, we really have a mission. And our mission ought to be to get the world off this awful kick of making logical decisions. I suggest to you that logical decisions are about doing us in. Stop to think of how you make decisions. Do you gather all the data and do you put it up in magical charts and have analysts come along to give you the research, and pretty soon you've got a book this thick with all the data on which you make a decision? I suggest to you that is not only hogwash, but totally counterproductive. That is not the way to make decisions in a human society, and we ought to know it. I am becoming a strong advocate for rational but illogical decisions, and I think I can prove it to you in 2 minutes. Think of the really important decisions in your life. If you're married or have a boyfriend, girlfriend, lover, whatever they call them these days, how did you choose that person? Logically? I doubt it. If you're a parent, when the kids get to be 5 or 6, do you bring them in and line them up and put them through an evaluation and say, sorry, buddy, you didn't make it out? I don't think so. And when you bought your house, obviously you bought it because of the closet space, right? That bay window with the apple tree in the view had nothing to do with it. When you buy your cars, how do you buy them? You and I both know how you buy them, and so does Detroit. It's the color. And it's the shape. And I don't care if it gets 20 miles to the gallon or 40. You still, even today, are buying them by the color and the shape. Now, shouldn't we be able to learn from that humans do have a special human nature and that logical decisions are trying to force humans into computers? And fortunately, we are not computers. We ought to be the specialists in that. And if we become the specialists in that, I think it'll get us closer to our goal. Thirdly, I think we have to start making a conscious effort to behave the way other professions do. It's the standard association method that all of us use all the time, is that when you want something to be thought to be on the same plane as something else, you liken it to that something else, and then you do a lot of persuading that it is like that something else. Well, if we want to be seen as professionals, we have to start behaving as other professionals do. Now, what do they do that maybe we don't do? The first thing that they do is to go by the book. A lawyer will sit and talk with a client, but he doesn't quickly say, well, I think the solution to your problem is, and rattle off a lot of habeas corpuses and ipso factos. Instead, he goes to his law library and he takes out the book and he checks it out very carefully to see what the statutory law is and what the case law is. Doctors today, they may take your pulse and all that stuff they do, but then they either go to their books, or today, of course, they plug in their in-house TV to the nearest medical center, which runs by a whole lot of slides on symptoms, but they're careful to check the latest data, the latest findings, before they give you a diagnosis. I think in public relations, I still sense a little bit of that marvelous Texas frontier shoot from the hip approach. I have a creative solution. I suggest to you, creative solutions are not where we are any longer. We have to start going by the book. That means we have to know research techniques inside and out. We have to know organizational and management theory and be able to apply it. We have to turn around and whip out the book and check it against the situation we're facing. And certainly, we have to know applied behavioral science and use it. We've got to start going by the book and less having these creative solutions. Besides, why reinvent the wheel every time when most of it has been written down at least 40 or 50 times before and you can buy the books rather inexpensively? Another thing we have to do to start acting like professionals is truly learning how to say no to clients, to bosses, and also how to critique policies and plans, and then to take the lead in forming new policies and plans. Every other professional that I know makes their mark not by saying yes, but by when they say no. This has been terribly difficult for us, and I don't think it's going to be any easier now, but we have to learn to do it if we are to be a profession. What this means, of course, is that we have to stop being company men and women. As I said earlier, we have to stop being partisans and start being advocates, and there is that important difference. But if we're going to say no, there's a fourth thing we have to learn, and this is a difficult one. We have to learn how to be diplomats. We have to become well-versed in diplomacy. Being tactful rather than obedient has to become our mode. But there's an easy place to start, because the basic book, the basic text for all public relations deals with this very subject. It was written by a lady named Emily Post. If you don't have a copy in your public relations library, I suggest you truly are missing the basic volume. It's the only one I know that gives us any real guide on how to disagree without being disagreeable. Of course, we're going to have to go far beyond dear old Emily, but we are going to have to become diplomats. Finally, I think we have to do one other thing, and that is, I think we have to have a united effort to bring these things about. To me, the obvious place to start is right here in PRSA. We've got a 30-year-old professional association, which in fact can take much of the credit for our present status and for this new future that I'm describing to you. But this means that we have to stick together as members, and we have to demand more for our inflated dues, as someone described them to me yesterday, at least our increased dues. I think we have to demand things like this. I think we have to demand that the long-range planning, which was so ably done by our long-range planning committee last year, become an annual function. The PRSA itself should be giving each of us some of this futurism that I spoke about, telling us what's around the corner, things that none of us can perhaps afford to do, but the PRSA can do for us. I think also that the new professional development program we're devising has to develop rapidly, and it has to develop in depth. You'll be pleased to know that some of the first self-study materials will be ready in a couple of months. But of course, that's just a drop in the bucket. However, when that professional development program that each and every one of us has screamed for so loudly is on stream, I hope I'm not going to have to go around giving a lot of speeches urging people to take advantage of it. This is sort of the history of education, you know, as you build the college and not as many students come as said they would. So I hope that when our professional development program is ready, you will be there. Finally, I think we have to take an attitude, both in our local chapters and at the national level, that the goal of PRSA is to help the members grow, to help us enlarge our roles, to help us do some of the things that I've been talking about, and not just to send us magazines and newsletters. Now, these things are possible, and because a maverick like me is going to be the president, I guarantee you I'll shake the bushes. But I'm going to need a lot of help from you out here, the dues-paying members on the line, who should be using these services, and whom I believe will use it. Well, what's the reward? I wonder if any of us really realize the potency of our position in emerging society. We can do some things that nobody else can do. And I want to just send you away with a couple of thoughts along those lines. I do a lot of thinking because of my four careers about what is public relations really all about. Why am I in this field instead of doing something else? Maybe you do that occasionally too, particularly when you get into some of the famous binds that we're known to get into. When I lean back and really think about it, I do get philosophical, I admit, maybe almost poetic. But as I look at the world, as I pick up the daily newspaper or watch television, I see a world beset by monumental problems. And yet, there's no technological fix for any one of those problems. The problems of wars, the problems of hunger, you name the problems, even the economic disjointedness that we have. There's no quick new invention or new technology that's going to change it. Because I submit to you, those are human problems. Problems of human nature, not technological problems. Who is prepared to deal with those problems? The lawyers? They got us into most of them. The doctors, the accountants, even the teachers and preachers? I don't think so. I mean it very sincerely when I say the only group I know that can really come to grips with the problems the world faces today is the group that I'm standing here looking at. It's those of us who are public relations professionals. We have the skills, the world has the problems. We are very important citizens of this world if we will apply our skills to those problems. But let's bring it down to your own individual organization. Who runs your organization? Does the board? Do the top executives? I wonder. When I think of how an organization runs, I find that there are two segments. One is, what is the organization doing today, day-by-day management? And the other is, where is the organization going? Now, the day-by-day management is clearly a reactive posture to where the organization is going. So the board and the chief executive are really in reactive positions. They have to make the boat run now. Somebody else is involved with where is the organization going. And in every organization I know of, the person who has the specific responsibility for that is generally someone in the field of public relations. We are into futurism some, even though we have to get into it more. We are the ones that tell what we ought to be doing tomorrow. I wonder if maybe in that larger sense, in a very real way, we aren't already running many of our organizations, or ought to be. I think those are pretty heady positions to be in. And yes, I'm an evangelist at heart. I admit it. But I've been around the country now several times in my several roles and talked to thousands of practitioners. I do it every week for PR Reporter and in my classrooms. And if you disagree with anything I've said, be my guest. But where's your evidence? Because I have files at home with tons of evidence for every single thing I've told you. So in my role as evangelist, I really want to invite you to become born again public relations professionals. Thank you.
Sandy on JJ&W. Here's a letter to Rick Russman, the lawyer, you know, in Exeter. Just say, Dear Rick, we're about to get a second purchase and sales agreement from one of our previous, from one of the neighbors. We're about to get a second or backup purchase and sales agreement on the Auburn land, period. One of our neighbors suddenly decided he'd like to buy it, of course, it is already quote, sold, unquote, --. It is already sold, don't put the quotes, but with the stipulations, we wait until August, comma, as I wrote you earlier, period. This neighbor wants to buy it if the August purchaser, if the August deal falls through, period, paragraph. So I think we can be certain. We can be as certain as humanly possible. No, so I think we have every... No, so I think we can certainly get Midge her money by August, comma, if she's willing to work with us per my previous letter, period, paragraph. I'm off. On a business trip, but wanted to let you know this new development. Period. Just sign it cordially, Patrick Jackson, APR. Thanks, Sandy.